Good evening to the saints of God. The growth of any congregation, the growth of the Lord's church, is predicated upon the spiritual condition of its people. The Lord's church will be saved. Scriptures teach us that very clearly. Jesus coming back for his church, his bride, Ephesians chapter 5. But the growth of a congregation, the members in particular, as referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, and ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. When we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we became Christians. And tonight's lesson is about something that's becoming more and more prevalent, more and more common, and more deadly as it relates to the souls of members of the Lord's church, the souls of Christians, and its church division. It's happening in South Florida. It's happening around the Brotherhood. And I want this lesson to not only be video, it will be not only videotaped, but sent to various congregations, put on our website. We need to teach the Word of God. And I will give you tonight, very concisely, scripturally based, 5 reasons for church division. So I suggest and I strongly encourage every child of God, because church growth is not about church splits. That's not growth. When the church grows, the Word of God is taught. There's an area, a specific area that's being cultivated, not egos being catered to, if you will. The Bible lets us know in Psalms 133rd division, the verses 1, as was read in your hearing, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3 and the verses 3, Amos 3 and 3. And I will be machine gun, rapid fire tonight. This lesson is heavy on my heart because I just see so many people, so many babes in Christ, so many people that are new to the faith, so many don't even know about the faith, thinking that church is about. See, we have members of the Lord's church who want some Eddie Long type scenarios. If you know who Eddie Long is, just look it up on Google. I don't have time to deal with that. We got brothers in the Lord church who want to be bishops, and they don't even qualify to be elders. And you can't be one without the other, because elders and bishops are synonymous. Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3. If you have a young man, I'll quote it if you don't have it. Amos 3 and 3, read the Bible.
Can two walk together?
Can two, read the Bible, can two walk together? Read.
Except they be agreed.
Except they be agreed. And so when the Bible talks about unity, Psalms 133 and 1. How good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. And the Amos says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So wait a minute now. There's got to be some unity. There has to be a sense of agreement in order for there to be a sense of growth. And if you want to see a biblical example of how the church grew and how the members of and how the children of God did those things pleasing to God, Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah, the 4th chapter, and the verse is 6. Nehemiah chapter 4, young men, and verse number 6. Nehemiah, the 4th chapter, and the verse is 6. John Michael, you over there, brother? Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. So the wall was built. But look at what happened. Why was it built so quickly and efficiently? For the people. For the people had a mind to work. So when people are working together, dwelling together in unity, agreeing on what thus saith the Lord, being on one accord, you know who's not happy with that? Wait a minute now, think about this. In Miami Gardens, I don't know if you've noticed it, but there's a tremendous sense of momentum in this congregation. Not because we're out here selling bean pies. Not because we're saying we're going to go ahead and bring in a piano and really hype up worship. When song leaders do their job, when the preacher does his job, when the elders and deacons do their jobs, and members in particular do their jobs by cooperating and working, there should be a buzz in a congregation. Amen. 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 But guess who's not pleased? When brothers are stepping out and not having to be told what to do. When sisters can look around and see brothers working. When sisters are putting together a fine ladies' day and brothers are fellowshipping tomorrow night, Lord willing, and just getting together, just spending time as brothers. Who is not pleased when that occurs? Well, guess who's not pleased? The devil. 1 Peter chapter 5 and the verses number 8. The Bible lets us know plainly. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be in control, be vigilant, be aware, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So the devil is doing none other than walking about, seeking whom he can devour. And let me tell you something tonight, church. As we think about God's word tonight, the devil wants to tear up congregations. The devil wants to tear up families. The devil doesn't respect marriage as an institution. And so if the marital institution of husband and wife is synonymous with the with the Lord's church, if you will, one bride for Jesus, and it is the church of Christ. So if the devil doesn't respect marriage, guess what? He won't respect congregational growth. And the devil will do any and everything to tear down a congregation. And members should be very careful. Let me give you 5 specific reasons for church growth. This may hurt. I'm not concerned about it hurting. I'm concerned about you listening to what the Bible has to say. None of this is my opinion. The Bible spells it out very clearly as it relates to church growth and what it looks like, how ugly it can be, and where it stems from. Reason number one. Reason number one for church growth. I strongly suggest you take the notes. Immaturity. I won't miss words tonight either. Immaturity is reason number one for church splits, for church division. Immaturity. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 1. See, folks, let me tell you something. As we said this morning, folks aren't preaching this. We're getting so cute and so cuddly that you can't tell the difference between the church of Christ and a denomination. We want to get down, have a good time. How about these young brothers coming up and knowing God's word, standing on God's word, not just trying to be cute? I travel around and I see places. I'm not even invited certain places because you know what? I can't stand it. We have souls in our hands and we're trying to be cute. Give me some scripture, brother. Give me some scriptural basis for what you are saying. That's what we need. That's what these kids need to hear. I don't want my kids growing up on tradition. Well, this congregation did that, and this congregation did that. How about growing up on scripture? How about that? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, yeah, I'm fired up in verse number 1. Reason number 1 for church division, immaturity. Read the Bible.
And I, brethren,
cannot speak unto you.
Not speak unto you
as unto spiritual.
Hold your point, son. So what did Paul say to the church of Christ at Corinth? I couldn't talk to you spiritually. Why couldn't he talk to them spiritually? Read, son.
But as uncarnal.
I need to talk to you like worldly folk. When the Christians are more carnal than they are spiritual, you can't have a deep spiritual conversation because it's already personal. It's already emotional. You ever had a discussion with somebody like that? You're trying to speak rational? Now listen now. I just want to talk to you. But no. Have you ever tried that with somebody who was just so emotional? You couldn't get a word in edgewise. There's no rationale. I tell people all the time in my counseling, folks, it's very difficult to rationalize with an irrational person. Did y'all catch that? If their standard is already a lie and you're trying to get them over here, you have to first come to grips with the fact that, are you willing to listen to the word of God? Well, no, I'm just tired of people. And are you willing to listen to the word of God? As long as they are over here, they're going to justify sin every which way but loose. Paul says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Read.
Even as unto babes in Christ.
Even as unto babes in Christ. You mean to tell me that it is possible, spiritually possible, for children of God who should know better, but they will act like babes? That's what the scripture just said. Verse 2, read.
I have fed you milk.
Oh, I fed you with milk. You know, wait a minute, you grew up on milk just like when we grew up naturally. We started off on our mother's milk, and whether it was Similac, mama's milk, or something in between, you grew up on some milk. Read.
And not with meat.
So you didn't grow up with a steak? I hope not. You couldn't handle that. Paul says, I fed you with milk and not with meat. Why?
For hitherto you were not able to bear it.
You couldn't handle that as babes. I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you weren't able to handle that. You weren't able to bear it. Read.
Neither yet. now
neither
are
yet
ye able.
Are ye now able. What is Paul saying? He's condemning these brethren at Corinth. He said, you've grown up on milk. You could handle that. I can't give you meat. You didn't grow up on meat, and you can't handle meat right now. Let's take a step back. When we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27, by faith, we are all the children of God. Galatians 3 and 26. Galatians 3 and 27, and as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. John chapter 3 and about verse 3 through 5, 1 through 5, if you will, when Jesus and Nicodemus come into contact with one another, and Jesus lets them know clearly that you must be born again. So when we're baptized into Christ, that is the regeneration. We are born again. We become Christians. Amen. And so when Paul says in Romans chapter 6, beginning at about verse number 4, he talks about when we think about how we were died to the love and practice, we were raised up to walk in the newness of life. We died to love and practice of sin. We were buried in the watery grave of baptism, i.e. born again. And we are raised, we get up to walk, to live how? Romans 6 and 4, in the newness of life. So we're new babies. We're new spiritual babies in Christ. And as newborn babes, what is the scriptural admonition? 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. As newborn babes in Christ, we have an obligation to do some things. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 2, brethren. Turn over there. I want you to have this in your notes. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 2. Go and read the Bible.
As newborn babes.
As newborn babes. Read
desire
it, brother.
Desire the sincere milk of the word.
Desire the sincere milk of the word. Wait a minute now. As newborn babies. Whether it's brother, our new brother in Christ, Brother Meeks, what I love about our dear brother, he's soaking, writing notes in every single, I'm not trying to call y'all brother embarrassed in any way, but he's writing notes just like he's in school. Soaking it up. But if you come into the Lord's house and you're a brand new babe, imagine a new baby not eating. Imagine naturally. And I tell you what, new babies, and they're full of energy, we know that. New babies eat all the time. They eat and they sleep. I got a new puppy. It's like having another kid. Eat, whine, walk. Eat, whine, walk, sleep. That's all they do. So as newborn babes, desire, earnestly yearn for the sincere milk of the tradition. Because see, babes can be misled right from the start if we're not careful. As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may what? Grow thereby. So growth. But now, what happened? Is there any scriptural proof that it is possible other than what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3? I got another one for you. When the Bible talks about when we who have grown up on milk should now be digesting meat and should be maturing, developing, growing. And it is an ugly thing. And I've shared this illustration before, to see a grown man and a grown woman in spiritual diapers. That is the most unattractive, not only literally, and I'm not even going there, figuratively, spiritually, to have a grown man and a grown woman spiritually in diapers. You can tell by the responses. You can tell by feedback. We will take our kids everywhere. We'll take them to Disney. We save up. We go to Disney. See Mickey, Donald, and Goofy. Church retreat. How much is that? Enough. And much cheaper than Disney. Amen. And in Disney, last time I checked, the admission doesn't include the food. We have a church retreat where the admission includes the food. Buffet, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Sister Frankie. Amen. I wanted to put that in there just for in case some of you were thinking that way. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews the 5th chapter. And verse number 12. It is possible. And Paul, in the Hebrew writer, if you will, lets the saints of God know. You know better than that. And I tell you what, and we have our brothers' meetings here, and we talk amongst leadership here. We are talking to men like men. Because, let me tell you something, time out for all this, alternative ways of teaching leadership in the Lord's church. If you study leadership in the Lord's church, I've studied leadership from an academic standpoint. I eat, sleep, and breathe leadership academically. And every time I study it, and even teach it, it's sometimes as an adjunct professor, let me tell you something. It all goes back to this. So when brothers who should know the Bible create situations that are not biblical, I got issue with that spiritually. Amen, walls and lights. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse number 12. The Bible, there's no alternative leadership in the Lord's church. There's only one way for men to lead. God didn't say, well, you know, you go ahead and create adjuncts. You go ahead and create all this other stuff. No, no, no. God tells, the Bible is very specific. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Acts 20 and 28, the Holy Spirit made you overseers to feed the Lord's church. He put elders in place. So if a preacher stands up publicly or privately and says, I don't believe in eldership, then you don't believe in the Bible. I will debate any gospel preacher. You stand over here, I'll stand right here. You have to give me something other than the Bible to tell me that there are no elders in the Lord's church. Amen, saints. And there are young men growing up, little boys growing up, being taught that it's a preacher's option. Whether or not, Brother Ron, if he doesn't want elders, that's just the way it's got to be. He's our leader. Where is that in the Bible? God has never operated that way. But you know what? That is the norm. A norm is expected behavior by definition. That is a norm in the Lord's church, in some locales. And you wonder why there are issues. This lesson needs to go to every single congregation in the Lord's church. Forget the messenger. It's the word of God. Hebrews chapter 5. And verse number 12, read the Bible.
For when for the time.
Ye ought to be teachers. Wait a minute now. So if you were a babe in Christ and you kept drinking that milk, you grow up. Now you're no longer an infant. You are now a toddler. You are now an adolescent. Now you're full grown in the Lord. So when the time where you ought to be teaching somebody else, the older teach the younger. You ever heard of that? Titus 2 talks about sound doctrine means the older the season, teach the younger. Let me just take a pit stop. I'll be right back, Jordan. So like, that means older sisters, seasoned sisters should teach younger sisters. And the younger these mamas get, they don't know how to raise these kids. I would hope a seasoned sister would say, baby, come here a second. When a child is screaming louder than the preacher, walk him out. Thank you, older sisters, seasoned sisters. I'm going to leave that alone now. That's the way it used to be. When a child is talking back to you and he's only two, somebody needs a little spanking. Well, maybe both need a spanking. Somebody's got to be in charge here. Amen. Folks, that's just soundness. And we're afraid of? We don't want to offend anybody. Brother, you shouldn't really preach like that. Folks, this is what the Bible teaches. For when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. Read it. Which be?
The first principles of the oracles of God.
You have need that somebody teach you again what you should already know. Read the Bible.
And are become.
Read it.
Such as have need of milk and not of strong meat.
And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So you are a grown person and we're putting a bottle in your mouth. Lord have mercy. You should be full grown, mature, seasoned, developed. And somebody got to put a bottle in your mouth just to keep you happy? Well, you know, sister so-and-so is upset. Really? She's been in church 50 years. And she's walking around pouting? You know, read.
For everyone that uses milk. Is unskillful,
untrained, unseasoned in the word of righteousness.
Why? He is a babe.
See, babes should not know everything. That's why babes should soak it up. But there's got to be a distinction. Not everybody in here is a baby. Not everybody here is unskillful. But if we act like that, Paul, the Hebrew writer is saying, you know better. But tell me about strong meat, verse 14.
But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age.
But strong meat is for them that are of full age or fully mature. Read. Even those who by reason of what?
Of use.
Use it or lose it. When you talk about love and forgiveness, you got to use what you know. You got to put it into practice. It's not just talking about, I love God. I need to forgive. Have you ever forgiven anybody? Try that sometime. I know the Bible talks about forgiveness, but let somebody wrong me. Have you ever forgiven anybody? See, more when you do it, yes, it hurts to be hurt, to be injured, to be used, to be misused through no fault of your own. Welcome to the world. But when you tell somebody, I am willing to forgive you, that takes more than carnality doesn't speak that way. Immaturity doesn't speak that way. Immaturity says, oh, nuh-uh. Know anybody like that? He says, you got to put it to use by reason of use. What have they done? Watch this. Spiritually fit. Fit for the kingdom, sisters. Read.
Have their senses exercised.
Have your senses exercised. The more you exercise, the easier it becomes. When you take a break, any athlete in here, you take a break from exercising, you get out there and say, I'm going to go ahead and do it again. I'm still sore from the church, from the Brother Jack's fellowship, his birthday party. When I got in that little bag, y'all made me get in and do the potato sack race. I'm still sore from that. Amen. Y'all pray for me now. Can't do it like we used to. So if you don't use it, folks, we will become unskillful by reason of use. What have they done?
To have their senses exercised.
Have their senses exercised.
To discern both good and evil.
We can distinguish between right and wrong. We can distinguish between truth and a lie. Because we have put these spiritual actions into use. Reason number one for church divisions is immaturity. And when Paul talked about, let's stay in this context for a minute. When Paul talked about what was happening at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. I'm still under the first one if you're timing me now. I'll speed up, I'll pick up the pace. But I got to put a lot in this immaturity because it is running rampant. Folks who think they are mature, their actions speak differently. I've used the example often of my little daughter. She is now, I always get her age wrong. Let's say she's growing up. I won't give you her age because I forget it. My baby girl is now 11 years old. I think I got that right. I'll be told that later on. And she loves being around her mama. She loves putting on her mama's shoes. And everything about it, anything her mama Chantel has, she loves just being around her. But all she has to do is open her mouth and you know she's a girl. Amen. So just because you put on a woman's clothes does not make you a woman. Amen. And I'm thankful to God. She's going to stay a little girl as long as I can keep her as a little girl. And that's a daddy speaking. But my point is, there was immaturity shows in our behavior. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 11. What was taking place at Corinth? Listen to this.
For it hath been declared.
It hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Paul says, now brethren, it hath been declared, it has been brought to my attention, my brethren, by them of the house of Chloe, because word spreads that there are contentions among you. There are problems at the church at Corinth. But now, Paul's going to take it even further with the church at Corinth. He lets us know in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, drop down to about verse number 14, he goes on to say, well, we got to get into getting better context. Verse 12, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. There's something called preacher-itis. Preacher-itis. Ever heard of it? Let me explain it. Preacher-itis means that's my preacher no matter what. No, that's my preacher no matter what. Folks, let me tell you something. I can do wrong. Don't you ever walk around. I appreciate the encouragement spiritually. And I would challenge any gospel preacher to stand up and say what I'm about to say. If I am wrong, don't follow me. Don't you come into the Lord's house saying, Brother Gale, that's my preacher. No, I'm a messenger of the Lord. I'm a servant of Christ. But if you are closer to me than you are God, and you are more inclined to hear what I have to say than what the Word has to say, I can mislead you in a heartbeat. The point that the Bible is making is this. Paul says there's contentions among you, and some of you are saying you're of Apollos, some of you are saying you are of Cephas, I am of Paul, and some are saying I'm of Christ. What did Paul say in verse 13? Listen to the Bible. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. What is Paul saying? Your immaturity is showing in what you are saying and in what you are doing. Reason number one, chalk it up. Reason number two, carnality. We want to fulfill the flesh, our fleshly desires. Reason number two, oh five, we want to fulfill our carnal desires. And that's why we talked this morning about what happened at the base of Mount Sinai. In Exodus, that we read back in Exodus 32, and we talked about Moses was delayed and Aaron. The people came to Aaron, and he yielded to the people. And they created an image that they worshipped instead of the Lord God. And what's beginning to happen in the Lord's church nationwide? Nationwide. The church is fine. It's members in particular that have the issue. Let me say that one more time. We got babes in here, and I'm thinking, wait a minute now, is the church about to break up? No, the church is fine for eternity. Daniel 2 and 44, there's a kingdom that God created that will never be destroyed. But Gail Nelson can go straight to hell. Let me make sure we get that right now. The church is fine. But we as members in particular better look at what we're doing and think about what the Bible says to us. So Paul is addressing a carnal issue. He already told him, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. So reason number two, carnality, fulfilling our fleshly desires. 1 Corinthians 3. Let's take a look at it quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to pick up in verse number 3 now. Paul's going to call them what they are. And this is what I love about just honest brothers. Just tell people what's instead of trying to avoid a conflict, just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. Say, brother, you're just dead wrong. Try that sometime. Sister, you know, you sound like a little girl. Now, say it in love now. But sometimes we need to just tell people the truth. Because if you allow somebody to act like a child year after year after year, what are they going to keep doing? So you need to stop. You know, you are a grown woman. I'm looking at the clock because I can't look at you when I preach like this. You are a grown woman. Why are you acting like that? Why do you sound like that? Do you realize people are around you? Realize you're in a church building? Realize your kids are listening to you? Amen. But carnally, we're going to be moved by emotion, and we'll do things out of emotion, and sometimes not even apologize. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 3, what does Paul say? Carnality at work. Read.
For ye are yet carnal.
For Paul says, ye are yet carnal. You are still carnally minded. You still have not been fully converted. Yes, you are members of the Lord's church. You are Christians, but you are so immature. And not only that, you have a worldly mindset. You are yet carnal. Read.
For whereas there is
among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Why are you living like you're out there in the world? Why are you living like that? We are God's people. Paul is laying it on them, and we need from time to time to preach in such a way where saints of God just straighten their back up, sit up straight, and say, I'm a child of God. I shouldn't live that way. Verse number 4, while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not? What did Paul say to him? Is he mincing words? Now, brethren, let's just talk about it. He said, no, you are all carnal, living like worldly men, acting like worldly men. Amen, somebody. Paul is laying it on them. So when we become children of God, the admonition is this, that we grow up and do better. When Paul talks about fulfilling our own lusts and desires, see, growth in Christ means, go to Galatians 2 and 20. Galatians 2 and 20. When we become children of God, and here's the challenge. I've been preaching 22 years. I was baptized a long time ago. And we are still in the flesh, which means we have fleshly desires. I hope and pray I am more mature now than I was when I was first baptized. And certainly I'm thankful to God that I am. But God's not done with me or you. We have to continually grow. But I had men in front of me. They didn't have college degrees. They didn't have all these accolades educationally. But you know what they had? They were husbands. They were fathers. You saw their actions. And they would pull a young man aside and say, sit on that front pew. I said, well, no, I can I sit in the back? No, they didn't ask me to sit on the front pew. So when young people want to just I'm going to come in and just try to hide. None of that. So men, let us all be on alert. You pick that young man and say, get up here and sit right over here. They said, grab that microphone. And when that preacher calls out the scripture, you better read it because I know you got a big mouth. And they didn't lie about that. And I grew up. Now I got other young men. I'm calling out the scriptures now. And they're reading. That's the cycle of growth and development. Same thing applies to sisters. A young lady needs to see what a mother looks like. A Christian mother. And they need to see that in you. Amen? So when we talk about growing and developing, we got to put to death our fleshly desires. And it's a constant battle. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says what?
I am crucified with Christ.
I'm crucified with Christ.
Nevertheless, I live.
Nevertheless, I live.
Yet not I.
Yet not I.
But Christ liveth in me.
But Christ liveth in me.
And the life which I now live in the flesh.
And the life which I now live in the flesh.
I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Wait a minute. Not by the flesh. Not carnal. The life I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm living with purpose. I'm living with intent because somebody died for me. So if I am to live my life based on my own fleshy desires, I am rebuking the grace that I didn't deserve. The Savior who died for me, I'm saying, you know what? I'm going to do it my way, God, because I feel strongly about this. I can feel strongly as I want to be. That still doesn't make it right. I can be sincerely wrong. So as we grow and as we develop, Romans 6, verse 5 and 6, Romans 6, 5 and 6, write them down now. Romans 6, 5 and 6. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, Romans 6 and 6, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So carnality, seeking to fulfill the fleshly desires, is an indication that there's still some developing to be done, even in the Lord's church, within the individual members. May we not, when a husband is mad at the wife and a wife's mad at the husband, work it out as Christians. Amen. Because it shows. Let us not be so friendly with the world, picking up the attributes and characteristics of the world as opposed to growing in Christ. James chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says, friendship with the world is enmity, translated hostility with the Lord. Reason number 3 of 5. Why is there church division? I hope you're writing these down. 1, immaturity. 2, carnality. And they are almost cousins, if you will. They are closely related. Because if you're carnal, you're going to be spiritually immature. You fail to grow, and yet you yield to the world and your own desires. Reason number 3, get this, disloyalty. I'll call it what it is, disloyalty. What is loyalty? By definition, loyalty is to have a commitment to one, a person or a thing. People are loyal to their sports teams. I mean, they were just diehard fans. Get upset, can't go to work when their team loses. That's loyalty. Fan is short for fanatic. I know the type. But all I'm saying is, when you think about just a commit being loyal to something, you can count on it. You can trust it. You can have faith in someone who's loyal. Amen? So disloyalty is just the opposite. What is going to cause you to stray away? What's going to cause you to go somewhere else? Amen? Disloyalty, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. We're just going to walk down what Paul is talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 5. Because one of the things we begin to do is we exalt man above his actual station. We lift up man higher than what God intended. I'll prove that in just a minute. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 5. The Bible says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. Hold your point in verse number 6 for me, Jordan. Hey, what is Paul saying? Who's Paul? He's a man. Who's Apollos? He's just a man. And he says, they are just ministers. Translate minister. Attendant. Or servant. So if you want to say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, these men are nothing but servants of God. So why are you playing preacher-itis? No, I'm with Brother Gale. You need to be with the Lord. Because you start coming to me saying, Brother Gale, save me from my sins. I say, you better, you're on your own. I'll tell you that publicly or privately. I'll pray for you, but I can't live your life for you. And there's a movement, there's a conditioning where folks are growing up and their loyalty is more to man than it is God. The same Paul, scripture from this morning, Galatians 1 and 10, he said, do I seek to persuade men or do I seek to please God? So be careful in what we say. And if we're really honest with ourselves, read verse number 6, Jordan, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. Watch what God says.
I have planted.
Paul says, I planted.
Apollos watered.
Apollos watered.
But God. Gave increase.
But God gives the increase. So your loyalty should not be to me or Apollos or Cephas. And if we are honest, you keep your finger and marker in 1 Corinthians 3. But I got to take you over to Matthew very quickly. Luke chapter 17. Here's what we need to be reminded of. Luke 17. Luke chapter 17. Well, that's one verse number 10. Luke 17 and 10. Another brother, give me quickly Romans 12 and 3. Luke 17 and 10. And then Romans 12 and 3. We're going to hasten on here. Everybody all right tonight? Luke 17 and 3. I'm giving you a lot to chew on. I want you to soak this up. We got to stop the foolishness. Luke 17 and verse number 3. What does the Bible say?
Take heed to yourselves.
Take heed. Give me verse 10 rather. Verse 10. Luke 17 and 10. My apologies.
So likewise ye.
So likewise ye. Luke 17 and 10. So likewise ye.
When ye shall have done all those things.
When ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you. So when you've done everything God commanded you. Say, we are bad brothers. You better look in your Bible now. Quit looking at me. Say, I got it going on. Say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. You see the humility in that? It's not about I taught this brother and he's a Christian because of me. He's not a Christian because of you. She's not a Christian because of you at all. Romans 12 and 3. Because that would lead us to our fourth reason, but I'll give you that in a minute. I got to finish this in this disloyalty. We are so committed to man as opposed to God. Romans 12 and 3 lets us know, for I say through the grace of God given unto me to every man that is among you, not some man, but every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think what? Soberly, according to as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Sobriety and control. I can preach till I'm blue in the face. It can get 1,000 amens. I'm still just an unprofitable servant because I didn't deserve the grace that was bestowed upon me. So when we start getting the big head and it's about me, disloyalty in the Lord's church. And as we think about the word of God, and this is what I've shared with all the preaching brethren that know me, and I will say this more and more. My loyalty, it's not to preachers. That may just make you think, well, that's a shame, Brother Gale. You trying to be a rebel? No. My loyalty is to God. So if the preaching brethren have a meeting and come up with something, my loyalty is still to God. But what these young men are being raised to think, well, you know, we preachers got to stick together. No, we don't. We preachers need to stick to the word of God. And that's what unites us. Not brothers getting together, sharing a breakfast, sharing a meal, and saying, let's all sit together, brothers. You know, these members are our trip. No, we are a trip if we don't stick to God's word. Amen. That's what's being planted in the seeds of too many young men. I want to be a preacher. I can put on a suit. I can walk on a big stage, look real sharp. Nothing wrong with any of that. But your loyalty is to these men, as opposed to sticking with God's word. See, when I grew up, you know what was so attractive? I said, that old man on that stage with a third grade education is quoting scripture after scripture. And what he's quoting, I see it right here in the Bible. What he's saying is right here in the Bible, not Rapper's Delight on stage. And everybody said, oh, you used a big word. But what's your lesson? And too many young brothers, I would love to have a session on leadership with anybody that wants to be a preacher and say, this should be something, this should be golden to you. Not what people think, not what the preachers are saying, not what the latest thing the preachers are doing. Because what the latest is shying further and further away from what the word of God says. Reason number 3 of 5, disloyalty. Reason number 4, ingratitude. Write them down. Reason number 4, ingratitude. We're not even thankful. Because when it becomes about me, I'm not thankful to God for his grace. When my kids tell me, and I love it, we go to restaurants, they'll say, Daddy, thank you for buying the food. They will keep saying that till they get their own job. Then I'll thank them for buying my dinner. Amen. There's a progress. And I appreciate that for my kids. They do it without prompting now. Thank you, Daddy, for buying me some food. I appreciate that. I don't want them to think that this is automatic. Because I have ways. 1 Corinthians 3 and 7. Let me stay with my text. 1 Corinthians 3 and 7. We're almost there now. You all right? Some of you are still in shock. That's all right. Keep just looking in the Bible because you won't hear a thing tonight that's not in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7. I know my videotape's going to run out here in a second, but I got to keep on preaching this, and we'll just get the rest of it on CD. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 7, talking about ingratitude. What does the Bible say?
So then neither is he.
Hold on now. Now, understand the context. I've broken up 1 Corinthians 3. If you're really tracking me tonight, Paul talked about the immaturity. He couldn't speak unto them as spiritual, but carnal. Paul talked about these brothers, if you will, just saying that, you know, I'm of a Paul, I'm of a Cephas. He talked about carnality. He also talked about disloyalty, where these men planted a seed, some watered, but who were they? So now he's going to deal with ingratitude. Are you thankful? Your actions state that you're not thankful to God. Verse number 7, watching. Read
so
it.
Then neither is he.
So then neither is he.
That planted anything.
That planted anything.
Neither is he that watereth.
Wait a minute now. So then neither is he that planted anything. Do you hear what the Bible says? Don't think like that was a song. Who do you think you are, Mr. Big Stuff? You remember that song? Don't go there too deep now. That's what he's saying. Well, you would not be a Christian if it wasn't for me. And with this mentality, I won't be going to heaven either. Not a Christian because of me. I planted a seed. Somebody else came and watered it. But God giveth the increase. Be thankful to God for souls being saved. Not because the great Almighty sat down and had a Bible study. That's our job to do, have Bible studies. Not look at me, look at me. Amen, walls and lights. So then neither is he that planteth anything. Read.
Neither he that watereth.
Neither he that watereth.
But God that giveth the increase.
But God giveth the increase. He says one person plants. Luke 8 and 11. The seed is the word of God. Luke 8 and 11 for your notes. Recognize that. So when a seed is planted, what should it do? It should bear fruit. But it's God that gives the increase. How are souls saved? How, when a seed is planted, the Bible lets us know in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and through 25, that when the word of God is preached, you'll be born again. Not with corruptible seed, but with the incorruptible word of God. Amen? And we are grown, we are born again. Where does faith come from? Romans 10 and 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Saints of God, let us be humble and thankful. Because when every time we look in God's word, the mirror of God's word, we're all sinners saved by the grace of God. That's why lessons like this, yes, it sets the true standard, which is the word of God. But may we be humble. James chapter 1 and verse 17. May we be humble. Because where does every good and perfect gift come from? And if we are not careful, we will think that we are God's gift to the brotherhood. If we are not careful, sisters, that's why there are no first ladies in the church. Stop using language like that. First lady means there's a first man. And if there's a first man, then where does Jesus fit into that equation? That's the first man. We had Brother Norris speak today, and everybody talking about the big three. Wade, LeBron, and Bosh. But our Brother Norris is rolling with the big one. Amen. And so if our focus is, tell me about LeBron. Tell me about Chris. How can you stay faithful as a child of God in the midst of being a basketball player, being on the biggest stage with groupies and everybody else falling over you, but you're staying faithful to God? Amen, church. Amen. So we as members of the Lord's church need to continually grow and be mindful that the good gifts that we get, every perfect gift, where does it come from? James 1 and verse 17 lets us know where every good and perfect gift comes from. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from below. No, sir, no, ma'am. It's from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So in other words, God is fixed in his love, in his forgiveness, and in his grace and mercy. And so ingratitude means we are seeking to get thanks to ourselves from other folks. That's why when we preach a lesson, whether someone shakes my hand or not, I just need to know that I was preaching God's word. Because if I preach to make sure that you respond like I want you to respond, I'll end up compromising God's word. That is what we need to be focused on. So let us not be ever unthankful to the Almighty God. And finally tonight, reason number 5, and we go back to 1 Corinthians 3, for church division. Not only is it a result of immaturity and carnality and understanding that folks are disloyal and unthankful, quite frankly, or the ingratitude. But the final peace, the final reason, if you will, of church division is irreverence. Irreverence. Reverence, by definition, that word in the Greek, phobos, reverence, godly fear. Do we think that if we do things to please our flesh, as a result of immaturity, as a result of other people, as a result of saying, you know what, nobody's thanking me, I'm being, at the end of the day, when my kids grow up and they don't live in my house, I hope and pray that they have enough reverence for the way they were raised, the way they were trained, to replicate, duplicate what they've been taught. Because if you think about church growth as opposed to division, it's about replicating the seed being planted over and over and over again. But if we plant seeds of corruption, if we plant seeds of discord, other things are going to pop up. If we plant seeds in our kids' heads, they can jump in and out of marriage, other things are going to pop up. If we plant seeds in these kids' minds and adults' minds that you don't have to be married to have sex, then we have baby after baby after baby popping up and no husbands and wives. I haven't said, do you take this man as well? I need some more, I can't do without you. Take your time, count the cost. Amen. I have preached more funerals than weddings, or officiated or conducted, if you will, more funerals than weddings over the past 10 years. So more people are dying than are getting married. It's a sobering statistic. As I looked at my calendar, Brother Ron, I said, my goodness, I guess I got to keep preaching on marriage. Amen. If the babies outnumber the weddings, then something's wrong. I don't hesitate to say that at one bit, but it's a matter of irreverence. The way we live our lives should be a response, a reverent response to the Almighty God who gave us life and who gave us the opportunity to be children of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9. Let's close it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 9. We need to be mindful that fear is a necessary ingredient in pleasing the Almighty God. We understand, and we're going to pick it up in verse 8 and just build up because it's a continuation of a thought. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. I can't, you know, just go ahead because Brother Mark is faithful. Well, I'll just go ahead and just stand next to him. No, I need to work as well. Every man, as the Bible says, will receive his own reward according to his brother's labor. It's not what the Bible teaches, his own labor. For we, here it is, for we are laborers together with God. Amen? Ye are God's husbandry. We are God's farmers, if you will. We need to cultivate constantly. Ye are God's building. So you mean to tell me that if I am not careful, if I'm preaching false doctrine, I can tear down as opposed, see, God's building, edifice, edify. I need to build up my brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we fail to remember a reverent lifestyle, a reverent response, even when you're mistreated, respond reverently. It can be okay. But across the brotherhood, when there are issues, and guess what? There will be issues. Miami Gardens, I'm thankful to God that we are living in the time and we're in a place in this congregation. Because this congregation had a history. There were issues. But there's unity. There's peace. But all it takes is a family to say, you know what? Let's all rise up. I'm tired of him preaching about us. Let's go ahead and say something. Well, go ahead and say it. We have to always be ready to give a reverent biblical response. You know what people will say? Well, Brother Gil, you're going to run people away with talking like that. Well, that may have to happen. I would rather have people leave because they don't like the word of God and they want to please the flesh than to say he's not preaching the Bible. Amen. We forget the fear that's outlined in the book of Proverbs. Let me give you three scriptures sequentially. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. Only two. Proverbs 8 and 13. And then we'll close with Proverbs 13 and 10. And this lesson will be yours. I have lived through. I used to be at a congregation and the teaching did not challenge me. So it, and so talk with the brethren, say, I'm moving my family where I can grow. Love you. Made it clear. Made it public. Moving my family so I can grow. You have publicly stated that you didn't want elders. You've publicly stated this, that, and the other. I'm moving my family because that doesn't jive with what I see in the Bible. My dear brother. And my family moved on. That's not division. That's truth. All right. When we start getting into factions, this one believes this, this one's saying that. And we get into it can hurt people. And there can be irreverent responses. But in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, let's close now. Proverbs 8 and verse 13, I've given you enough to take home and chew on. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, the fear of the Lord, that word reverence, if you will, fear is reverence. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward or perverted mouth do I hate. So saints of God, when you get mad let's say there's a problem in a congregation, and there's Christians that even start cussing. Because that's your righteous response. You get so, I was just so upset I couldn't help myself. Yes, you could help yourself. Get that foolishness out of your heart. That's why the foolishness is coming out of your mouth. Let me sit down now because you guys can't take much more. This is Proverbs 13 and verse 10. Proverbs 13 and 10. I mean, it's folks, let's quit just making excuses, putting band-aids on our own immaturity. Well, I couldn't help myself and sitting here cussing. Cussing your kids on the way to church, cussing them out on the way home. And you come in here saying, amen, Brother Gale, preach it. Nothing but a lie. And the kids are sitting there watching you saying, oh, really? Oh, old spiritual one you. Proverbs 13 and 10. Reverence is absolutely necessary. Proverbs 13 and verse number 10. Only by pride cometh contention. Somebody is trying to get his or her way. When it starts in the home domestically, mama and daddy, well, you know, I'm the man of this house. Well, then provide for the house. Lead spiritually. Stand up as a man, but only by pride cometh contention. Or contention cometh by pride. Somebody is just a little bit big-headed and not thinking about the greater good. People can be hurt in the process. Let me finish it. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Before you leave that house, angry husband, angry wife, as a matter of fact, don't you leave that house. Only reason I want you to leave that house, I've said this in counseling many times. Only way you should leave that house, if the house is on fire. And take her with you. Take her with you. Amen, brothers. It's like, oh, that okay. I'm not giving you any ideas. Let me get that right. As we close tonight, I say this in love. You have the scriptures to back up everything that was stated tonight. May we as brothers in Christ, may we as members of the Lord's church and members in particular, always be focused and ready to give a biblical answer and never to imitate, copy, seek to in any way sound like and look like the religious world. The word peculiar, the word distinctive is what defines a child of God. If someone cannot tell the difference between a Christian and some of this denominationalism, the problem is not with God. The problem is with us. Tonight, I just want to say I love you, but we must do better. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you certainly can be. To have Paul preach like he did, to have lessons on church division. The one beautiful thing about preaching God's word is there's always somebody listening. When faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and 17. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in belief, trust, and reliance in what he has done for our sin. He died. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You believe that with all your heart? Are you willing and ready to change your mind? Are you ready to confess that Christ is the Son of the living God, Matthew 10 and 32? Are you ready to be immersed in water for the remission, the sending away of your sins? You become a Christian, a member of the Lord's church. And if you look at it biblically, the pattern was very clear. In each area, there was a congregation. That's why the book of Galatians is written to the church of Christ at Galatia. Corinth was the locale, church of Christ at Corinth. and so on and so on. Thessalonians, the church at Thessalonica. So in every area around this world, there's a group of brothers and sisters holding to only one. One head, Jesus Christ. One body, the church of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
One rule of law, the word of God. Not the law of Moses, but the word of God, the gospel plan of salvation, the good news of Jesus Christ. So if you need to respond, if you're not a Christian, you have this opportunity. If you are already a child of God and something tonight calls you to say, you know what? Maybe I'm not as mature as I thought I was. Why not ask for prayer that you can grow up? Because we're here to help you. We're here to support you. And most importantly, let's make it to heaven together. As together we stand and sing.
Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at